Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Yesterday marked 100 days until the Olympics begin, and the Olympic flame was lit in Greece earlier this week, and it's on its way to Paris. And speaking of lit, here's Marie Crowe from Game On. Hello, Marie.
What a segue, I love it.
You're here talking to us all about the Olympics today. Before the whole thing starts, this is really interesting. The River Seine is going to play a huge part in the opening ceremony. What's the plan with that?
Yeah, so it's going to be absolutely amazing. The whole thing is going to be amazing, Laura, because the city is just so beautiful, and they're going to use every single part of it to showcase the city and then to mix in the history of the Games as well. So for the very first time in the history of the Olympic Summer Games, the opening ceremony is not going to be in a stadium, because usually they parade in with the flags and they're in stadiums and they do a little lap. So instead, what they're going to have is they're going to have boats for every single athlete, all the different groups, the countries, and they're going to parade down the Seine on these boats. They're going to have cameras on them so that they'll be beamed back to here and every other country that'll be watching it. The whole of the Seine is going to be decked out with flags and banners, and there's going to be spectators everywhere. Not everyone's going to have to pay for tickets. You can find a spot and watch this opening ceremony. There will be tickets for some people, but it's really going to be accessible to anyone who's in Paris and wants to check it out.
This is phenomenal. I can't wait for this. But they've had to scale it back a little bit because there's some security concerns around this.
Yeah, look, they're a little bit worried. Picture the scene, thousands of athletes, huge crowds, world leaders, all in this open air area, chilling out, watching a spectacle on the river. It does make maybe the perfect scene for a James Bond movie. Yeah. Anything could happen. So they are a little bit worried about it. If the security threats do raise, you know yourself, they have all these back channels and they know all the chatter and all the rest, then they're going to move it to a stadium probably and take away all the glitz and glam, which wouldn't be great, but security is obviously the most important thing. So they have plan A, B, C, D. They've loads of different plans, says the French President Emmanuel Macron.
Well, I'm selfishly hoping the plan A goes ahead, because that sounds phenomenal for us watching it. Listen, let's talk about the water, because it was in the news recently. They said that the triathlon might have to be a biathlon because the water's a bit manky. What's the story there?
It's not great, Laura. It really isn't. So last year's test event for the triathlon ended up being a biathlon because, a duathlon because of the really poor water quality. So, like, you know what it's like here at times. Things can end up in the rivers, there can be sword spills, there can be loads of different things. So they're really worried about the cola levels, and also there's a huge amount of rain as well, which doesn't help, and pollution and all the rest. So the triathletes are very well aware of this. Lots of the team leaders have come out and spoken about how they're naturally trying to eat more yogurts and take probiotics and try and protect themselves from the pollution. Other teams are going to take medication. They've got these special wetsuits. They're going to be getting the Hibby scrub disinfectant after every single session. So they're trying to protect themselves. It does feel like they're dicing with something quite dangerous. But look, they feel confident, and they feel like that the levels of pollution have improved since the Olympics were coming. They've been working really hard on it. So all going to plan, they'll be able to jump in and swim. But I'm not sure if I'd be brave enough now.
No, not me either. But we've 99 days to see what's happening. Where does that leave us, though? Because rowing is obviously one of our best events in recent years. Is that going to be affected if the water's a bit off?
No, we're great. We're great at rowing to start with because we're an island, so we have loads of places where we can row. But they've actually built a brand new nautical stadium, and it's the very first facility that they completed for the Games. It's on the outskirts of Paris. They're going to have the canoeing and the rowing, and it doesn't seem to be as affected out there. So I think that they're all going to be okay. But you're in the boat as well, so you're a little bit safer than if you're swimming.
Yeah, then actually submerging yourself in the water. Let's talk about boxing, because that's our other big event. It nearly got kicked out of the Olympics.
Yeah, it's actually on a tightrope at the moment. The future is so insecure. So there's been a lot of legacy issues, unresolved ones as well. There's been problems with governance. There's financial issues. There's ethical issues. There's been issues over judging, loads of different stuff. So the IBA was the International Federation for Boxing. And last year, the IOC decided that, like, they're not going to recognise it anymore. But what they've been doing in the past is that they have been allowing them to box at the Games. They've just been doing it under kind of their own IOC, international kind of a federation, so that they haven't been letting the IBA run it. But they're saying that it's going to be the end of it by the time Paris 2024. They don't want this IOC task force to have to administrate it at the Olympics. They want them to be able to get a proper governing body in place. But there's so much politics, and there's so much bad blood between the different people running it, that it's very hard to see how they can sort it out just in time for the next Olympics, and it would be terrible because it's something that we're really good at, for one.
Yeah.
But also, it's a sport that's been in the Olympics since the start, and this huge history, tradition. Countries that might not have the resources that, you know, to put a load of boats in the water, they can always train their boxers. So I just think that it would be a big, huge, it'd be devastating, really, Laura.
Yeah, it would be a sad loss for sure. As you said, for us, but for the sport in general.
More importantly, because we win medals out of them. We just care about the medals.
Looking out for number one here. Speaking of medals, all right, the Olympics used to be all about the amateurs, but it is very, very, very promising to be a track and field athlete at this time than any other discipline. Why is that?
Yeah, now there's money. So if you go to the Olympics and win a track and field medal, now you're going to get about 50 grand for a gold medal. So it was... Since the start, it's always been amateur, and there's never, like, different athletes would have deals for Nike and all the rest, but like, you'd go there and you're competing to win the medal, and that's what it is. And kind of the ethos of the Olympics, Laura, was that everybody would be treated fairly. So, you know, you don't have two or three countries that are winning all the medals and getting money, and then the rest of them are kind of getting nothing. So it was very much all about winning the medal, but now you're going to win a few quid as well, so it does change things a little bit. And a lot of the other associations aren't too impressed, because they're feeling that, okay, if you're winning money for a track and field medal, maybe you should even win one for cycling or for rowing or whatever. So it does kind of bring a lot of the ethos and the cohesion within the Olympic Association into question. And I'd imagine, though, that you kind of won't go back from this. Like, this huge amount of preparation goes into getting even to an Olympics, let alone winning a medal. And the athletes probably feel they deserve it. And 50 grand is the price of putting on a gold medal. But I think that the other associations might end up having to follow suit now, because when money comes into something, Laura, you know yourself.
Yeah, I absolutely do. I know what you're saying as well, though. Like, you can't just put it on one year and not do it for the next Olympics after that. And
yeah.
It's about to get a lot more complicated. But I mean, it's great for the athletes. Do you think that we have any Irish athlete that are in with a chance of winning that cash?
We absolutely do. And it's amazing to be looking forward to an Olympic Games with Rashida Adeleke going into it with a massive chance at winning a medal. Now, I mean, everyone's saying don't put pressure on her, like, don't hype her up, just let her go and see what happens. But I mean, it's the Olympic Games. If we have someone with the potential to win a medal, let's make a huge deal out of them. And I think that, just given the environment that Rashida's in the States, she probably will be well able to deal with the pressure, and she's been front and centre now of Irish athletics for a long time, that her time was going to come, and I feel like this could be it. So we're going to see her at the European Championships, and then we'll probably know where she's at, how things are going for her. She's qualified for the 200 metres and the 400 metres. We're not sure what she's going to do yet. She'll also hopefully be in the relay. So she's a phenomenal talent. Like, she's so exciting. She's ours, she's brilliant, and like, she's heading over there, and who knows what she's going to come back with.
Yeah, and it's exciting, and we really want to get behind her. Like, no pressure, but it is, like, you're representing the country, and we're also proud of you.
Exactly, and these opportunities don't come around too often. You never know what's going to happen with life, with injuries, with anything, with your attitude to your sport. Everything can change. So when you're in the moment, I think, let's make a big, huge deal of it.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate the person. Win, lose, draw, whatever happens. I just think that it's just worth everybody investing in, getting behind her, and hoping that she comes home with the medal. But if she doesn't, she'll be brilliant in January, because getting to the Olympic Games is really hard.
Exactly. Getting there is phenomenal. And look, this is a bandwagon everybody needs to jump on,
because
we're right behind you. Let's talk about the fact that karate is gone from the Olympics, but breakdancing is in. What do you make of this?
Oh, look, it's a funny one, because the organisers in Paris have always said that they wanted to appeal to younger fans, and they wanted to feature sports that are closely associated with youth, and they want to reward creativity and athletic performance. And breakdancing absolutely does that. It's really cool. I mean, you could maybe, if you put your head to it and your mind to it, this could be you, Laura. This could be your moment.
I'll
be talking about you.
Imagine I give up the radio to go to the Olympics. I don't think I'm that talented or that young.
You never know. Back yourself. Anyway, so what you'll have to do is, if you do decide to go breakdancing and spread your wings a little bit, so it's... basically, you're just going to have to dance to this really famous DJ. You're going to have to learn popular breakdancing moves. You're going to have to, you know, be able to spin and go on your head and all that sort of stuff. But it's going to be really exciting. People are going to love it. It's something different. I do feel sorry, though, for sports like karate, for ones that don't get in. So baseball and softball are not going to be there. They've been in the Olympic Games in the past. And look, there's people that would have grown up wanting to to represent their country in the Olympic Games in their sports, and they're going to miss out on that. I'd love it if every sport could get in, but it doesn't work like that. So look, it's breakdancing's turn. Let's see how it goes, and we might take off.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I am excited about watching it. I think it's going to be really fun. Lastly, surfing is in again, but it's taking place in Tahiti, I hear, this year. Like, how did that come about?
Yeah, so it is a bit mad, absolutely. But the organisers of Paris 2024, they wanted to spread the games across France and engage their overseas territories and their communities and showcase everything that's brilliant about France and their rich heritage and their diverse heritage. So they're heading to Tahiti, but they probably have really good waves there as well. I'm not an expert now or anything, but I can just picture surfing in Tahiti. And if you want me to go over and report back to you, Laura, I absolutely will. That would be my dream. I'm just going to head off there and just do the surfing.
For the good of the show, I think you really should. For the good of the station, I think it would be great for Game On to come live from Tahiti.
Yeah, and then you can go to the next Olympics as a breakdancer. Look, we'll both be really happy.
There we go. Public Service Broadcasting, Marie Crowe. I am very excited about the Paris Olympics kicking off. They start on the 26th of July. You'll be back with the Game On gang from 6 p.m. tonight. Thank you so much for joining me.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.